We're going to look this morning at Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. It's the custom in many churches to give people a suitable text from the Bible when they are baptized or when they become members of the church. A text which can be a kind of motto for them, for their Christian lives. Over the years, there's one verse more than any other which I've given out in those circumstances, and that is Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Or as some versions say, and he will direct your paths. Proverbs is an amazing book. It's all about wisdom. It tells us to go all out to get wisdom, to search for it as you'd search for lost silver or hidden treasure. It's a gift from God. He gives it to us when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it develops and grows as we read and study the Word of God. Now, chapter 3, verse 5 tells us that the wise person will trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So let's look at this. First of all, whom should we trust? Sadly, a lot of people are putting their trust in the wrong person. For instance, many people trust themselves. Solomon here says we mustn't do that. Do not lean on your own understanding. Many people do that. They rely totally on their own judgment. They never seek advice from anyone about life and living. There were young people who would never dream of asking their parents for advice. There are husbands and wives who would never dream of asking each other for advice. There are church members who would never dream of asking a fellow church member for advice. And there are thousands who would never dream of going to the Bible or to God for advice. They say, I'll trust my own judgment, thank you. I'll do what I think is best. And they're quite confident that what they think is best for them. According to verse 7 here, they are wise in their own eyes. They know best. Well, says Solomon, the wise person will not do that. Do not lean on your understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in God. Of course, we must think and weigh up all the pros and cons about any situation, but we must never lean on our own judgment. For this reason, we are finite people. Our understanding is limited. We don't know everything. God does, but we don't. Not only is our understanding faulty, it's fallen, it's affected by sin. It's limited and affected by sin. We sit down and think about a problem, and we say, I'm going to think about this dispassionately, I'm going to think about this objectively, but to be honest, we can't, because we're all interested in self. We've got self-interests and self-motives which click in. Our own reasoning is finite, and our own reasoning is fallen. So we must not trust ourselves. Neither should we put our trust in other people. That's what many are doing, putting all their trust and confidence in human beings. It may be politicians. Surprising as it may seem, there are still some people who put their trust in politicians, right or left. We'll come up. They think that their politicians will come up with the answers and put everything right. I was in a prayer meeting once when a man prayed, Lord, get rid of all these left-wingers and bring in a Tory government which will put our country right. And I had a word with him afterwards. I said, I hope when you go and preach in the Rhondda Valley, you don't pray like that. Or on the other side, Lord, get rid of these socialists and bring in a Tory government. But the other side also, get rid of this Tory government and bring it to the socialist. We don't pray like that, because we recognise that the judgment of all the best politicians is faulty and finite. So we don't trust in politicians. We obey the laws of the land as far as they honour God. We obey the laws of the land, but we don't trust politicians. They're all sinners. A lot of young people put their trust in a pop star or a footballer or a band. They worship the ground they walk on. And they give the impression that these stars can do nothing wrong. But again, that's against the Bible. The Bible says that's a foolish thing to do. To raise it to the higher level, there are many people who put their trust in a good friend or a good relative. Well, thank God for good friends. Thank God for kind relatives. Thank God for loved ones who are trustworthy and mean so much to us. Value their advice. Value their advice. But we don't trust them absolutely. You'll find a fellow living entirely for his girlfriend. You'll find a husband living entirely for his wife. Or a wife living entirely for her husband. But we must never do that. Thank God for them. Love them dearly. They're a precious gift from God. Love them dearly. But they're finite. They make mistakes, and they won't be with us forever. Wisdom says, don't trust yourself, don't trust other people. Put all your trust in the Lord. Why? Because He alone is totally reliable. He alone is all-powerful. Verse 19 says, He founded the earth. He established the heavens. He's the great creator of the heavens and of the earth. He is almighty. He alone is completely wise. Verse 19 again, by his wisdom he founded the earth. He alone is wholly good. He alone is totally perfect. He alone never changes. He alone is able to save us from sin. He alone is able to keep us. He alone knows all about us. He alone knows all about the future. Trust in him. Trust the Lord. It's the central message of the Bible. Maybe quite literally so. There's a lot of discussion about what is the exact middle verse of the Bible. That depends somewhat on the version you're using and the language in which the Bible is translated. But many people think that Psalm 118, verse 8, is the central verse of the Bible. And it says this, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. So that's whom we are to trust, the Lord. That's the great theme of the Bible. Now, how should we trust him? Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust him totally. Trust him with the whole of your being. But what exactly does that mean? It's all very well to talk about trusting the Lord, and so all very well to sing about trusting the Lord, but what exactly does that mean? Many people talk about trusting the Lord, but as you observe their lives, you wonder where their trust really is. Trusting the Lord with all your heart means, first of all, that you trust him entirely for your salvation. That's basic. That's where we start. Trusting the Lord with all your heart means trusting him absolutely for your salvation. We've all done wrong. We're all guilty sinners in God's eyes. We're all heading for the great judgment day. We all need to be forgiven. We all need to be saved from hell. Well, true wisdom says that we must trust in the Lord for our salvation and trust only in him. Our own twisted understanding tells us that we're okay as we are, that our sin is not serious, that with a little effort on our part, we can put things right and earn our way to heaven. I've met so many people, even professing Christians, who think like that. They're so wise in their own eyes. They think they know better than God when it comes to the way of salvation. They think they're not too bad, and that if they do their best and try their hardest and live a decent sort of life, everything will be okay, and they'll get to heaven no problem. They're trusting their own understanding about this. That there's no need for them to be saved. I may have told you before, the secretary of the church when I began in the ministry about 58 years ago said that quite plainly. He came rushing down the aisle at the end of a service and shouted out, "You preach to us as though we're all sinners. I'm not a sinner. I'll be on my way to heaven, no problem." Poor man, totally deluded, trusting in himself for salvation. We need to realize that there's no one righteous, no, not one. We need to realize that we can never save ourselves. We need to realize that nobody else can save us, only God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people are trusting in the fact that their parents are Christians. But that is foolish. Thank God for our parents. Thank God for the advice they give us. Thank God for their godly example. But we can't be saved through our parents because our parents are Christians. We can't save ourselves. We must trust in the Lord absolutely for our salvation. Secondly, trusting the Lord with all your heart means that you trust his word to rule your life. Look at verse 1. Solomon writing in the name of God. Solomon writing by the inspiration of God says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." You realize that God's word, whether it be the book of Proverbs or any other book in the Bible, is totally true and reliable. You recognize that all its teaching is true. Its commands are all important. Its warnings are all urgent. Its promises are all genuine. So you read God's word. You believe God's word. You never forget God's word. You love God's word. You live by God's word. You trust God's word. You build your life upon it. Many people may laugh at you for doing that. They may mock you. They may regard you as a fool and an idiot. How stupid, they'll say, believing the Bible. How ignorant can you get? But tell me, what is so foolish about living according to the teaching and commands of the Bible? What's so foolish about that? If everyone did that, if everyone followed the teaching of the Bible and trusted the Bible, there'd be no murders, no muggings, no marriage breakdowns, no perversions, no pornography, no pedophiles, no rape, no robberies, no little children starving and dying in Ethiopia because of a lack of food, while people in the West bin loads of food that they've not been able to eat. There'd be none of that. There's nothing foolish about trusting the word of God. Life would be paradise if everyone believed and trusted and lived according to the word of God. Trusting God means that you take his word as the rule of your life and gladly obey it. Verse 2 says, "It will give you peace." The Hebrew word there is shalom, spiritual prosperity and peace. It will give you a full and satisfied life. So trusting the Lord means trusting him for salvation, trusting him, trusting his word as the rule of your life. Thirdly, trusting the Lord with all your heart means trusting him for guidance. You find that here in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will direct your paths. Sooner or later, we all come to a crossroads in our lives where we urgently need guidance. Shall we study maths at university or medicine? Should we take a job in London or in Liverpool? Should we get married or remain single? Should we marry Gilbert, who's loaded with money, or Gary, who's hard up, but a far more honourable character? Should we leave the comfort and security of life in the UK and go and work in some needy country? Or should we stay here? Should we, when we get older, should I stay in my home or move nearer to relatives, nearer to my family? Or as you get even more elderly, should I stay in my home or should I go into care? But we all come to a crossroads in our lives at some time. We all face big decisions. And of course, we must think everything through. God has given us minds to think. We must think everything through. But in the final issue, we can and should trust God to guide us. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. Be submissive to him. Don't just expect him to rubber stamp what you've already decided to do. There are many people like that. They set their hearts on a course of action. They're determined to do it. But because they want to be seen as good Christians, they say they're praying about it. But they're really praying for God to rubber stamp what they've already decided. It's not guidance they're after. It's God's rubber stamp. But that is sad. If we want God to guide us, we must acknowledge his lordship. We must say to him, Lord, please guide me. My one desire is to know your will. My one desire is to obey you. Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. My only concern is to know your will and to know your guidance. And he will guide you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will make your path straight. He will guide you. He will show you the way to go. Then fourthly, trusting the Lord with all your heart means trusting him with your health. Trusting him with your health. Did you notice that verse 8 talks about the health of our bodies and our bones? Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. We're not being told there that the person who fears and trusts the Lord will always be healthy all through life. We know that is not the case. We know that Timothy was often sick. The Apostle Paul tells us that. We know that Paul himself had trouble with his eyes. When he's writing to the Galatians, Paul usually used a scribe to write letters for him. But when he's writing to the Galatians, he says to them, see what large letters I've used in writing this letter. So there was something wrong with his eyes. He had to use large letters to see what he'd written. So we're not being guaranteed a life free of sickness, a life of perfect health. When the Lord comes again, our bodies will be perfect. But we're not being promised that in this life. What we're being told here in verse 8 is that ultimately, our health is in God's hands. Thank God for good doctors. God uses them. Thank God for the brilliant pediatrician and surgeon who saved the life of my eldest grandson. Thank God for statins and other tablets which are keeping half of us alive. God gives skills to pharmacists to develop these tablets and so on. We don't go along with cranks who say it's wrong to take medicine. We don't do that. But on the other hand, we don't put all our trust in doctors. We recognize that our health is ultimately in the hands of God. Sadly, in the Western world, we're surrounded by many people, crowds of people, who are fanatical about their health, spending absolute fortunes on special diets and special supplements and special skin care. I can understand the non-Christian doing that. The non-Christian is scared of death, so they'll do anything to keep death away. And then poor souls are putting all their trust in vitamins, putting all their trust in food supplements and so on. Anything to keep death at bay. But as Christians, we trust the Lord to care for our health. He may cure us from that ailment. He may not. He may cure us through a doctor. He may not. He may cure us through a miracle. He may not. It's all in his hands, and we're content to leave it there. My times are in your hand, we sometimes sing. My God, I wish them there. My life, my friends, my soul, I leave entirely to your care. My times are in your hand, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as you know best for me. So we trust the Lord for our health. Whatever he wants, we'll gladly endure. Then fourthly, trusting the Lord with all your heart means trusting him with your wealth. Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops. You may have great wealth. You may have little money. You may have a massive salary, or it may be minute. Whatever your financial position, honor the Lord with it. If you have plenty, don't flaunt it and give everyone the impression that it's your little God. Trust the Lord to use your wealth wisely, like Henry Hines, became a wealthy man, very wealthy. But he used his wealth to honor the Lord. If you have little money, don't go into massive debt buying things you don't really need and can't really afford. If you don't really need that wonderful possession, can't really afford it, trust the Lord to enable you to live without it. Whatever our financial position may be, make sure that you don't rob God. Israel was an agricultural country, and the custom was that the people would give the first fruits of all their crops, the first pickings. They would give the prime fruit as a gift to God. The same principle applies to us. When we get paid, the first thing we should do should be to think, how much should we give to the Lord? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, about the collection, says Paul, do what I told the Galatian churches to do on the first day of every week. For most Gentile believers, payday was the seventh day, the last day of the week. Well, the next morning, on the first day of the week, set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. That's what the Bible says. On the first day of the week, when you get paid, whenever that is, set aside part of your income for the Lord's work. If you want to know how much, my own personal view is that should be a tenth. Leviticus 27, verse 30 says, a tithe belongs to the Lord. People say that's Old Testament law, no longer binding on us. But wait a moment, listen to what the Lord says. In Matthew 23, verse 23, he rebuked the Pharisees for hypocrisy. The Pharisees boasted that they paid their tithes to God, but they neglected the weightier matters of justice and mercy and faithfulness. Jesus says to them, "You hypocrites, you boast that you pay your tithe, but you don't show much justice. You don't show much mercy." But here's the striking thing. He doesn't tell them to stop paying their tithes and show mercy instead. He says, you should practice the latter without neglecting the former. You should practice mercy without neglecting to pay your tithe. That's my personal view, but we should honor the Lord with our wealth. Give some of your money to God. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it, when it is your power to act, says verse 27 of this chapter. Try and help poor people. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And can I tell you this? You'll never be the loser. No matter how poor you may be, if you honor the Lord with your wealth, you'll never be the loser. Now, sixthly, trusting the Lord with all your heart means trusting him when hard time comes, when hard times come. Trusting him when hard times come. That's the message of verse 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. This verse is quoted in Hebrews 12 and is very important. Sometimes God allows us to pass through tough times, times of hardship, times of illness, times of loss. Everything seems dark. Everything seems hopeless. And we wonder what God is doing with us. Maybe someone is going through a dark time like that just now. In your life, everything seems to be going wrong. Things are very dark indeed. Well, keep on trusting the Lord. Keep on trusting the Lord, even in dark times. You see, God sends us these dark times for our good. To discipline us, that's the teaching of the Bible. To train us, to make us better Christians. Don't think about these dark times as a time of punishment. No. God sends them as a discipline to train us, to make us better Christians. He's developing your Christian character. He's preparing you for heaven. He's doing it for your good. Trust him. Isaiah 50, verse 10 puts it like this. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant, yet walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. That's a fascinating verse, that. Isaiah 50, verse 10. You fear the Lord. You seek to obey his word. Yet just now, says the Bible, you're walking in the dark and have no light. And it's hard going. But keep trusting in the Lord. He knows what is best, and he's doing this for your good. He'll see you through the dark times. He'll see you through the dark times. So trust him in the dark times, yes, but trusting in the Lord with all your heart means that we should also trust him in the good times. In the good times. Verses 13 to 18 describe a time of great blessing. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life was in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Here's this man or woman who's been seeking wisdom. They've been reading God's word and hearing God's word, and that has brought them into a deeper relationship with God. They found spiritual riches. Life seems to be so blessed just now. It's like walking along pleasant ways. Life seems to be so wonderful now. And God is so real and so wonderful. It's a taste of paradise. Well, trust the Lord in such times. Thank God for them. Such times. But keep trusting the Lord, even when the good times come. You see, there's a danger when good times come that we become complacent and careless. We're such perverse creatures. We begin to think that there must be something special about us. There must be something special about our church to know such times of blessing. If God is blessing us richly, we preen ourselves and take the credit to ourselves and boast about ourselves. Don't do that. Even when the good times come, even when you're knowing great blessing, don't forget to trust the Lord. He's the one who sent the blessing. And he's the one who'll keep the blessing coming. And he's the one who can stop the blessing at any moment. I've known so many Christians who in a time of spiritual prosperity have become proud and began to preen themselves that they're responsible for this. Keep on trusting God, even in the good times. We're entirely dependent upon him. He has given the blessing. He alone can keep the blessing coming. Then trusting him with all your heart means trusting him for protection. I close with this one. Trusting him for protection. We live in a very dangerous and evil world. There are spiritual dangers. There are moral dangers. There are physical dangers. But if we trust God and honor him, he will watch over us. He'll protect us. That's the message of verses 23 to 26. If we fear God and trust God, he will keep us safe and will not let us stumble. It says Proverbs, then you will walk on your way in safety and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down when you go to bed at night, you'll not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Trust the Lord to protect you. There's no need to panic when you go to bed. There's no need to lie awake petrified that some harm will befall you during the night. The Lord will protect you. I'm not saying that nothing wrong will ever happen to a Christian. I'm not saying that difficulties and dangers will never come to the Christian. But I'm saying that nothing will take God by surprise, and he'll guard you and take care of you. Thank God for that. Many missionaries would never survive on the mission field if they didn't believe that. Trust him to protect you. Let me quote you some wonderful words from a man called John Ryland, a friend of William Carey. These words have been a great comfort to me on mission trips abroad. When Margaret and I were bombing down the Amazon in the flimsy boat with crocodiles and piranhas and anacondas underneath the boat, when visiting diseased people in leper colonies in India, this has been a great comfort to me. When confronted with deadly poisonous snakes in Africa, John Ryland wrote these words, plagues and deaths around me fly. Till God bids, I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Great verse, that. Let me close then. The wise man and woman trusts in God with all their heart and at all times. He is the Lord. He is almighty. He's all wise. He's all knowing. He's the sovereign. You can trust him. He will never fail you. Trust him for salvation. Start there if you never started. Start there. That's the place where we must all start. Trusting him for salvation. He alone can save us. Trust him. Trust his word to rule your life. Trust him to guide you. Trust him with your wealth. Trust him with your health. Trust him in dark times. Trust him in good times. Trust him in times of pandemic or times of prosperity. Trust him to protect you. Let me quote the whole of that hymn from John Ryland. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in your hand, all events at your command. He that formed me in the womb, he shall guide me to the tomb. All my time shall ever be ordered by his wise decree. Times of sickness, times of health, times of poverty and wealth, times of trial and of grief, times of triumph and relief. Times the tempter's power to prove, times to taste the Saviour's love. All must come and last and end as shall please my heavenly friend. Plagues and deaths around me fly. Till God wills, I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. In you, gracious, wise, and just, in your hands, my life I trust. You at all times I will bless. Having you, I all possess. May that be our motto. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.